Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Nicholas Snow, and I'm so happy that you're here. For point of reference, this is going out live on September 17th at 3 p.m., but it is available in perpetuity. So think of it as an audio time capsule. This is the first of about a dozen episodes I will be doing featuring some filmmakers that have something in common. Now, what do they have in common? Well, they are all featured in the 2015 edition of Cinema Diverse, the Palm Springs LGBTQ Film Festival, which is happening starting today, September 17th through the 20th at the Camelot Theaters here in Palm Springs, California. Since most of you will be hearing most of these episodes after this year's film festival, keep in mind Cinema Diverse is in fact an annual event, and you can find out everything about Cinema Diverse at cinemadiverse.org. Now, in this particular episode, I am very excited to interview a very exciting filmmaker, Shawn Richards, and she's going to be talking about her short film, which is actually quite critically acclaimed. So the film Painted Parakeets tells a story of love as it is filtered through the lens of an irreparable dilemma. What remains of what was once most important to two women who can never be the same? If love is not lost but cannot be fulfilled, what becomes of it? As this tale unfolds, it utilizes a stunning painting by a New Orleans artist that informs and sets the tone for the short film. So without further ado, let me welcome onto the air actor-producer Shawn Richards. Hey, Shawn.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited you could join the show on short notice. And will you actually be in Palm Springs for the festival?
Yes, I will. Sunday, I will be driving down there for sure.
Well, fantastic. Well, most people, as I mentioned, will hear this episode after this particular screening. But they're one of the things I love about films. They have an ongoing life, and they're always available somewhere. Do you have a particular official website or place where people can follow you in your films?
Yes. They can look up Painted Parakeets is on IMDb, which is the huge database of films. But we have a Facebook page. Painted Parakeets is on Facebook, and we have our official page. And a lot of people email me via that way or make comments, and that's how you can get in touch with us as well. And I tweet all the time, so anytime you need to find me, hashtag Painted Parakeets, and you'll find me on Twitter.
Fantastic. So I've actually just liked your Facebook page, and it was easy for me to find by searching Painted Parakeets. It was very easy. So even though you're here primarily to talk about the film, I found your personal Facebook page, and there's a photo of you with the Real Housewives of Atlanta. What's up with that?
Wow, okay. Well, I do an after show for the stream.tv, and those are my fellow hosts. And I'm actually friends with one of the housewives from last year. She will be on this year lightly, but not as much, maybe Claudia Jordan. So this was the first year I was hired to do an after show. So we talk back about with the fans, we communicate with the fans during the show, and it's really interesting because you'd be surprised how many people want to talk. If it's a great episode, how many people will jump on and really go in on the fact that they don't like, you know, maybe the way someone's dressed or the way someone spoke to their husband? Or it's very interesting the amount of people that are interested in talking after the show is over. You would think it's over, they move on, they're on to the next show. They will go and if they disagree with something I said, I can remember last year the girls were arguing about wearing bonnets to bed, and I was totally against that. And one of the characters on the show, Candy, and her husband had a disagreement about that. And so there were, like, pages on YouTube of people going off on us. you know, us arguing about this and how that everybody should understand. It was just very interesting how the talk doesn't end. You watch the show is over, but live, you know, live streaming after shows are very popular now. So it's been very interesting, just the fan base that we've gotten from that and the fact that, you know, people from the Bravo show do watch our show, which is interesting. I didn't think they would, but they do, you know. They can't comment right away because the problem is, you know, these shows were taped already. So sometimes it's hard for them to make a comment or disagree with us because maybe something else is going to unfold and we don't know about it. You know what I mean?
Well, and you and I both know, though, that when a cast member of a reality show watches a particular episode, they're going to be as surprised as anyone else because they do not know how it's going to be edited.
Ooh, boy. Yes.
Which completely manipulates the story that is told. So we call it reality TV in quotes because, you know, there ain't no such thing as reality TV that I know of that I would really say is truly reality. Well, cool. Thanks for filling me in on that. Now, you've been in the biz for a long time. So tell me a little bit about where you grew up and who inspired you and supported your path into show business.
Wow, okay. Well, I was born in New York City, and I've always had an interest in television, film. I'm a huge old Hollywood fan, like anywhere from, I've read pretty much everybody's biography, so anywhere from Marilyn Monroe to Montgomery Clift to Tab Hunter, that Hollywood was like golden to me. Lena Horne, Dorothy Dandridge, that whole era, you know, growing up, I was raised by my grandparents, so they watched a lot of the old films, and I think that is what got me enamored with that. My father is like a huge, it's funny because it's like my grandparents were huge, you know, old Hollywood fans, and then my dad was like a huge Bond fan, so that's why I got named Sean, because my dad was like a huge Bond fan, and then it trickled down to me. My mom was a singer and was extremely talented of a singer. Didn't really pursue it the way I think she should have, you know, thinking back about it now. I didn't get the gift of the voice, though, but I had the gift of talent, and I've always had a huge imagination. So for me, going into acting was something that I kind of wasn't sure if this is something I really wanted to do, but I loved, you know, spending time with my grandparents and watching these old movies and wanting to emulate what I saw on the screen. So I studied at HB Acting Studio in New York and moved to LA pretty much right after that. And, you know, here and there, you know how the journey is with actors or anybody in entertainment. The journey is quite interesting. It's not, with, you know, immediately something could happen, but then you don't get anything happening for a while. So it's like, it's just always continuously believing in yourself and studying and creating and always creating. And that, you know, that's how Painted Parents came along. It's like, I wanted to create something, you know, and I had like-minded people around me who felt the same way, you know, let's create something. It wasn't about doing a Kickstarter campaign or anything like that. It was more or less, let's do this. Oh, 2 weeks from now, everybody's free. Let's do it. You know what I mean? So that's my journey with that. And, you know, I've been blessed to work, I was on a TV series a couple of years ago entitled Tremé, which was on HBO. It was a reoccurring character. I've done national commercials for Levi's and Cool Whip and Ford, you know, Ford, the car Ford, the Ford Escape. I've done tons of stuff with that, and I've done voiceovers, which I do every once in a while. It's not something I continuously pursue, but I've done voiceovers in the past. I've done theater. And hosting was something that, you know, just came so naturally to me. I mean, I've studied with the best, from Marky Costello, who I think is an amazing host coach, but it was something that came quite naturally to me. You know, that's how, you know, we came into hosting the after show for the Housewives of Atlanta, but I've done red carpet for NBC, you know, for the Oscars and for the Golden Globes. So it's like I've pretty much stepped into each field of entertainment, you know, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes. The only thing I haven't mastered is doing makeup. on set. That's the only thing I haven't mastered, and that's something I probably will accomplish one day because I find it to be so intriguing because I've seen so many people, you know, create these this whole time period, time capsule in a film that's only 2 hours long. Do you know what I mean? So that's something that has always been in the back of my mind and I've always wanted to do. But yeah, so that's my journey. My journey, you know, it ebbs and flows of so many different things. You know, I've started up doing the theater, then the film, and then TV, and then you always go back around because you always want to be good. You know what I mean? You always want to be acting and doing and creating and visualizing and seeing yourself come to fruition.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to give you a minute to come up with the answer to this next question. My question is going to be for you, and I'm going to actually, for our listeners, I didn't play my usual opening at the top of the show because of a technical problem, so I'm going to play it now. But during the opening, Sean, I want you to think about a couple of crucial moments in your life's path that were paramount in getting you where you are today regarding being an actor in Hollywood rather than, for example, a school teacher or a waitress or a scientist, because there's all sorts of things that help us identify and follow our dreams. More with the lovely and talented Sean Richards after this.
The snowstorm continues after this.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
Hi. I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California, and I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before, and I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
And now, on with the show. He's a regular contributor to the Huffington Post and to media outlets throughout the world. He's an author, singer, songwriter, actor, and activist, and the executive producer and host of NicholasSnow.tv. He has created and continues to do so a snowstorm of global proportions dedicated to connecting the circuitry of humanity. And now, drifting into the studio and your life once again, Nicholas Snow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm continuing my conversation with Sean Richards. So, Sean, I gave you a couple minutes to think about some major moments in your life that brought you to where you are today.
Wow. Okay. Well, one of the major, there's two, you said you asked for two. I've got so many, but I would say the first one that I could, that literally popped into my mind when you mentioned it, and you asked me, was getting my first credit, which was I was on SNL. I did a really funny sketch with pretty much all the top tier talent on SNL. Dana Carvey was there. I was so young, had no idea how amazing this credit was. But the high that I got from the 2 days rehearsing with this you know, the cast and the crew to the second day of actually shooting SNL is something that it went into the deep amount of pores in my system, like literally the pores in my skin, the pores in everywhere, and it became a part of my DNA. That moment was the beginning of me saying to myself, this is what I want to do. At first, it was just like, oh, my God, wait, SNL, what am I doing? Like, it was so randomly, easily, limitlessly, effortlessly occurring all at one time. There was so many things going on in my brain when it happened that night when we wrapped, and I remember it like it was yesterday, that night we wrapped, I couldn't sleep for hours. Like, I'm not even kidding you. I was up that whole night, and I was like, I want to feel that every day of my life. That's what I want to feel. I don't know what it is I'm feeling. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I know I'm on the stage with legends, and they're making me laugh, and I'm making them laugh, and it was just so professional. It was fun, and it was all these different things, and all these moments and, things were going on at once. I was saying to myself, oh, my God, I need to feel that every day. Like, seriously, because that is what I want, and this is what the life I want for myself. So that moment was, people say deal breakers. That was my deal. That was my deal signing. That was like I signed the deal right then and there. And then I believe the second time for me, I mean, there's been so many times, but a pinnacle point, I would say, is staying in L.A., I had been coming back and forth and saying, oh, you know, I don't know. Do I want to live here? Not because I just didn't like it. And I didn't want to like it because I didn't want to have to own up to what my decision was. Do you know what I mean? So it was
right.
Like a subconscious thing that was going on. And when I decided not to go back to New York, you know, with my family, that was it. That was it for me. I was like, okay, we're going to have to make this happen. And it happened. Part two or part three to that would be when you say, you know, as many actresses and actors say, I'm done with this business. I'm over it. I'm frustrated. I'm miserable. This is not what I want. It's not happening. What's going on? And then something happens. Do you know what I mean? Like literally walking away from saying I'm going to be doing this professionally. And I said, I'll give it like 4 months. Like literally, like I know it sounds ridiculous to some who are not in the industry, but saying, oh, if it doesn't happen in 3 months, I'm done with this. And being wholeheartedly serious, and then something happens. And you're like, wait, what? This is what I want. This is what I want. And, you know, having that maturity in yourself to be like, okay, well, if it's not going to happen like this, I'm just going to play, I'm going to gamble like you gamble in Vegas and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. If it doesn't happen like this, I'm done. And not second guessing your thought and then something comes through. It's very strange. So those first two times, moving to Los Angeles and committing to live in Los Angeles, that was one of the times. And the first time was the first thing I ever did. I think I was in school still at the time when I got the SNL booking. I know I was in school because everybody was bugging out. Like, it was so random. It's like, wait, she just got in class. How is she? And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be on the stage with all these people, you know, to do this sketch. So, and it was my first credit. Like, literally, it's the first credit I've ever gotten was from that. So those two times were very pivotal times that I could remember. I think that's the first thing I go back to. Because I don't like to use things that just occurred, like maybe a year ago or 2 years ago. Those two things kind of set everything up to where we're at right now, to even having this conversation with you. Those two strong moments in my life, I can go back and go, wow, that's what it was. Those two moments. There's nothing else. These other things, you know, they pop up because you're like, okay, last week I was pissed and look what happened. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that. It was like these two moments I could remember just like that. And they were, you know, a long time ago. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're definitely powerful, pivotal moments, and I completely get that. But in both of the moments you've described, you were already well into your decision. I think I want to be an actor. I'd love to backtrack a little bit because, you know, I think every little kid wants to be an astronaut or an actor or the president.
And
then we get older and we have people that talk to us about being pragmatic or living in the real world. And you have continued to be able to identify and follow your dreams. So was there a person, a place, a circumstance, or a time when that inner possibility really lit and you decided that you were going to give yourself permission to experience the life that you really wanted?
I think, I know exactly what you're asking as well. Because a lot of times, you know, growing up, you can't really share this with family members unless your family is somehow connected to the industry. So for me, I had friends, like, you know, childhood friends, and we all would say, oh, we're going to grow up and be, you know, actors or whatever. I don't know if we said rich and famous or whatever, all those things. Like, I knew that I always wanted to live in California, but it never connected to being an actor. I didn't get any support from family because they all wanted me, for some strange reason, wanted me to go to nursing school. I'm like, ew, really? Or like to be a doctor. Like my grandfather would say, oh, why don't you go to nursing school and be a nurse? And then my other grandfather was like, well, if that's the case, you just might as well be a doctor. I'm like, but who wants to do that? I think that's a noble profession. I think it's an amazing profession. But for me, I just knew that wasn't what I could do. Like, I decided at that moment, like when I had said to my both grandfathers, like, that's not something I want to do. I'm going to go to school and major in, quote, communications. But I was really taking acting classes. I was in an acting program in school. So that was like, ooh, I can't tell them. They'll find out soon. What am I going to do? You know what I mean? It was one of those things.
Oh, I see. You went the covert act.
Oh, I did the covert. Oh, it was so insane. Like, I think about it now. I'm like, who would be able to get away with that now? You just can't do it. Like, they had no idea. I'm majoring in communications, but really I was, but then I was taking acting classes. So it was, what was going to happen? Like, how long was I going to be able to pull this stunt off? And then the opportunity came where I got to go to L.A. just to see L.A., not necessarily thinking that I was going to live here, but I knew in the back of my mind, I always said from high school, I used to tell my stepmother, you know, everybody has like an evil stepmother. Well, I had an evil stepmother, and she was one of those people that would lie, like, oh, you can't do this, or you can't do that, or you're not going to make it, da-da-da-da-da. And one of the things I used to say was, that's okay, because I'm just going to move to L.A., I don't even know what I was saying. You know what I mean? As a kid, I was saying this. But then
you probably went out and did everything because she told you you couldn't.
That's exactly what it was. That her and other family members as well.
Oh, well.
That's why the whole SNL thing, when SNL happened, you got to remember, I was still in school. So when that happened, it was such a, it was one of those things. And I have to tell you something else. I was doing vision boards and everything before people knew what the hell that was. I was doing meditations and affirmations all that time because I knew I needed some help. I need, like, I don't know if it was going to be God or I needed some help to get me out of the situation. How am I going to get out of not letting them know that I'm not even majoring in what they say I'm majoring in school? Like, how am I going to get away with this? Like, this is, so I'm going to need help. So I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have to put photos on the wall and do a wheel of fortune of what my life is going to be. That, I know it sounds so out there because at the time the books and stuff that I've read, and I started reading like these books like so long ago, like people, you know, besides reading the biographies of the celebrities, the Hollywood, you know, glamour stars, I was reading these, you know, Louise Hay books, you know, at the same time, because I was like, I need help. How am I going to get to where I need to be if I can't, I don't know. I don't know anybody in acting. You know what I mean? Like, I hung out in the scene. It was so many things I was trying to do to get me there. And that moment when my stepmother said to me, oh, you're not going to make okay, you're not going to be an actress. She saw like one of the books that I had to get for school, and it was an acting book, and she was like, you're not going to be an actress. But it was and I don't know if I said something to her like, oh, these books are for communication, you know, for me, you know, your communication for journalism or something I said. And she's like, oh, like she didn't know. But it was like, that was when I was like, fuck you. Oh, I didn't mean to curse, but I was like,
that's
really,
okay.
Like,
this is internet radio, so
okay.
No worries.
But literally, that's what I was saying to myself. Like, you know, I'm going to show you. And so could you imagine me doing, you know, my visualization and my meditation and, you know, doing all these things and, you know, and then out of the blue, that's what I say. That's when I knew this is something that I need to, you know, really do more research on and really consider being my career. Because that thing, when SNL happened, I was spellbound, like not movable. Like literally when it happened, when I got the phone call, they want to see you for SNL for a sketch. Now, it was a small sketch. I never went back, but it was something that I couldn't even see people in my acting class. When it aired, everybody was looking at me like, wait, you're supposed to be major. Like, I was like, how did you do that? Like, it was that randomly. Could you imagine? So that's what I'm saying. Like, that typical, like, that whole SNL thing was so many things that led to that. So when it happened, that's why I always say when people get mad and go, oh, well, you know, she gets everything so easy. No, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on before you don't even know about. You know what I mean? There's so many things that lead you to that, quote, easy point. You've worked so hard to get to that, quote, easy point that when you get it, it's like as far as everybody else looking in, like looking in the glass, they're like, oh, my God. Like, how did she do that? Like, how? And so that was it. That's why it was that SNL, that episode of SNL was it what it was, because I didn't know, and like put it like this, I didn't even know stage left and down, you know, I didn't know anything, like I was learning that in school, so people were like, oh, you know, down stage left, up stage right, da-da-da-da-da, standing in the light, out of the light, you got to get mic'd. That was my first time ever being on a set, and I handled it like a pro. I was like, you know, I'm going to watch Anna, and I'm going to watch Sherry, and whatever they do, I'm going to do. So when we're getting hair and makeup done, I'm just going to act like them. And I remember I asked, I never forget who it was, I was like, how long have you been acting? And I never forget, it was Anna, Gastemeyer. She said she looked at me, she goes, for a long time. And I was like, ooh, really? And I was like, because she seemed so, you know, it's funny because you're looking at their energy and their camaraderie amongst each other and how they're having so much fun. It just seems so fun and new and fresh for them. And when she said, I've been asking for a lot, like it was one of these, you know, really exaggerated longs when she said it, that it just made so much sense to me. I was like, wow, okay. So she's been this long time, but look how much fun she's having still. You know what I mean? And she's on TV. She's getting mic'd. She's getting her hair and makeup done. That, I'm telling you, when I left there, I couldn't sleep. My mind was going 8 million miles a minute. What am I going to tell my family? What am I going to say? Oh, my God. What is this? You know, and then, you know, of course, it airs that night. The rehearsal was what because the thing is with SNL, I don't know if you know this, you rehearse, and then you might not, if the sketch isn't funny, you get cut. So you do the episode for a live audience, which is a dress rehearsal. You go, you do a run through, then you do the rehearsal, and then the next, like if it's not fun. So I didn't tell anybody until the day of the show. That's when I told everybody, oh, like, oh my God, I'm on, you know, SNL. People were like, what? Like, I'm not even kidding. People were like, what? Like, they didn't even know. They were like, what are you talking about? You're on SNL. Like, how did you even get that? Did you ever know? It was pandemonium. That's what I have to say. And that was when I was just like, wait, there's something happening here that I'm supposed to be doing this. I know this. I don't expect it to happen overnight, but that got into my DNA. Every pore of my DNA was consumed by it and wanting to feel that same way over and over and over again. So you seek out ways to get there. Do you know what I mean? You seek out ways to get there. And that's the pinnacle, though. You know what I mean? That is the pinnacle of everything.
I love it. So I'm going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk specifically about Painted Parakeets, the movie. It's a short film, so I don't, of course, want to give away too much of it, but we'll say whatever you want to say about it and who helped make it happen and what the response is so far. I love hearing about how people respond to films the first time an audience that's not your insider group, you know, the first time a neutral audience sees your film, how do they react? That's always fascinating. More with Sean Richards after this.
Everything Nicholas Snow is available at nicholassnow.com. For our video programming, check out nicholassnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. The snowstorm continues after this.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revival. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revival. Find it here. Visit us at revivalstores.com to find a Revival store near you.
Hey folks, mark your calendars for early November because it's time for Greater Palm Springs Pride, Southern California's popular and longest-running LGBT festival in the Coachella Valley. Palm Canyon Drive is closed to traffic and transformed into a vibrant, pedestrian-friendly Pride festival unique to Southern California. Palm Springs Pride is also one of the sponsoring organizations of the annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which takes place every year in May. Visit pspride.org.
The LGBT Community Center of the Desert is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the lives of the LGBT community in the Valley through health and wellness, social and educational programs. The center advances its mission through a clinical counseling and internship program, senior programming, youth anti-bullying and suicide prevention support programs, a growing volunteer program, and signature special events in the community for its members and allies. For more information on the LGBT Community Center, visit them on the web at thecenterps.org.
I'm back with Sean Richards. So, Sean, when did the idea for Painted Parakeets? You're not the writer; you're an actor and the producer. So, tell me about your creative team and how you know each other and how this basically came into being.
Wow. Well, I was shooting the TV show Treme, which is on HBO, and it's shot on location. It was shot on location in New Orleans. And so I have a great group of friends and family that live down there. So I was spending time down there, and we had gotten notice that, like, our wrap date was probably, I don't know if it was going to be, it was like we had like a month before the wrap date. And one of the people I became really close with is my producing partner, Jancy Hogan, Jancy Griffin Hogan. She's an actress as well. She's done movies. She was in Dallas Buyers Club. She's worked a lot. And she told me, we need to do something together. So, you know, when people say that, and, you know, this is another thing for people listening. It's like, you know, you want to surround yourself with people who are really about it. You know, Jancy said to me, I want to do something with you. I said to her, I want to do something with you. She was like, okay, I know somebody who's a writer who saw your photo and said, I should write something for both of you. Now, she had worked with Jared Hornsby. This is a childhood friend of hers. He's extremely talented. His brain operates on a higher frequency than most. Just how he visions things and writes things and just everything about him is on a whole nother level. And him and Jency have been, like, they're childhood friends. They're like brother and sister. So, she said, you know, Jared wants to meet you. So, you know, we at this point, we were collaborating on what we should do. And Jared comes in, and he meets us both. He had two ideas. Like, he basically pitched us in a coffee shop two ideas of two short films he wanted to shoot. And he presented both. at the time we were calling painted parakeets purple elephants because, you know, it was just so random. We wanted a silly title that had nothing to do with the story. Jared said, hey, listen, Jared Hornsby, he said, hey, listen, I want to write this idea. I have this idea in my head. You will play wife and wife, but I have a twist. I was like, okay. And Jency and I were like, okay. He says, I'm going to come back with a script, like, tomorrow. We're like, okay, fine. So that was fine. We forgot about it. We already knew who our crew was going to be. Everybody local Louisiana industry people. Her, Jency's husband, cinematographer, one of the producers, the music guy, Jeremy, is like, oh, my God. We had the actual painting in the movie, Brittany. Brittany is this talented artist, really pretty famous down in the Southeast. She lent her artwork. We had the music that you hear in the beginning of the movie, that they're from Austin, Texas. They're a band from Austin, Texas. They basically gave us their music to forecast in the movie. And Jared, all these elements going on, like people donating and this and that, we had a house. He had all of these things going on. He comes back with a script. Like, literally, he says, okay, we can shoot. This is, I'm not even kidding you. This is exactly what he says. Okay, well, we can shoot the week of this. I have a house. I have, you know, equipment. I have this. I have that. We have the painting. We have the music. All these different things. Everybody's available. Let me get you a script. He didn't even have a script, but he had the elements to do this film. And he wrote this love story with this unbelievable twist that I have never seen before in my life in any, you know, any film. And that was it. He wrote the script. Our process was us reading it. We had talked to two couples, lesbian couples, and what they felt about how our story has a twist to it at the end and how they would react to it. And it was just very interesting. It was all positive, all love, very, very supportive. And when we read the script out loud, there was a part in the script where we kept laughing. And, you know, this is not, I mean, there are funny elements, but this is more of a drama. This is not like comedy. And, you know, Jared probably getting a little frustrated with us because he'd be like, okay, how many times are you guys going to laugh? It's not funny. This is a very intense scene. And sure enough, we shoot the movie. We get the equipment, everything. We shoot it in New Orleans, all on location in New Orleans. So when you see the film, everything is in New Orleans. This beautiful house, everything. The team, amazing team. Alexandria Bozeman, she is the set creator of the film, and she created that set out of one part of someone's house. The other house was very occupied with cats and just a beautiful, like, architecture people, so they had this whole part of the house that was just, you know, occupied by them and their animals and everything. And then we had the other side that Alexandria built this set that was amazing, and that was it. It literally happened just like that. You know, when people say they're about doing something, they're about it. We didn't go online. And, you know, I have all respect for people who want to get their film done. And, you know, but we did this film for no money, you know, basically. Everything was donated. You know, we spend money, of course, on food and, you know, gas and, you know, renting things. But, I mean, the film was done on such a small budget. Unbelievable. We spent more money investing in submitting it to film festivals than the entire, you know, budget for the film, to be honest with you. So, that's how it happened. It was that simple. It was literally, Jency and I became close. She said, hey, let's work together. I said, let's do it. Jared comes involved. He writes the script. Our whole team, our friends and people who work in the industry. I mean, Jency's husband is the cinematographer of the film. He is one of the best photographers for weddings, and he's pretty, I mean, he's flown to Scotland and Iceland, all these places to shoot, and he wants to do cinematography, and he was amazing on our film. You know, he's done three films since then. So it was a great step for all of us, because, you know, I've always wanted to produce something that I believed in. I've been asked to do other stuff, and if it didn't click, I wasn't going to do it just to have my name on it. It's not worth it. This I believe in so much. That's why it's been so successful, I believe. You know, us winning awards and getting recognition and write-ups and all these different things. It's like, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why.
And now you're on my show. And in the final home stretch of the interview, I want you to tell me anything that we may not have said so far about painted parakeets that you think is important, and anything else that you want to add to the interview that I may not have evoked with a question.
The snowstorm continues after this.
In Greater Palm Springs since 1979, the Desert Business Association has promoted and supported LGBT and allied businesses and professionals who join together for business promotion, economic development, educational, and humanitarian purposes. Their vision is to connect, promote, and build prosperity by embracing all members of the community to make a positive difference. They have many events every month. Find them at desertbusinessassociation.com.
Those paparazzi, they keep pestering me. Do you have to fight off the paparazzi as well, Sean?
Sometimes I do, believe it or not. They take the photo, and I'm like, okay, but you don't, do you know my name? So, yes. It's
they just know you look like somebody who should be famous.
That's what they say. It's so funny. It's ridiculous, though.
I love it. It's just part of the adventure of show business. Least they're not like on my balcony. So tell me, is there anything about painted parakeets you'd like to say that we haven't said? We don't want to give any of it away because it's a short film, but is there anything else you want to add about the process that we haven't discussed?
I love the fact that the one of the things I want to add about painted parakeets, it's an interracial lesbian love story, and I feel sometimes you don't see that often, and you don't see the effects of what family have on relationships. I know we're all adults and we're all have moved on, but you know, relationships with your parents, they link in and they leak in to your relationships that you have with your spouses. And I found that this movie has a lot of weight on that. I can't give away too much. It's hard for me not to. But
yes, but I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you.
I want to be. That's what I want to add to it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So that evokes another question. So do people ask you? Are you a lesbian? And I'm not necessarily asking you that. You don't have to say one way or the other. But how do you approach that question? I mean, if you were playing a school teacher, people aren't going to ask you if you're really a school teacher. But I guess the reason I think that this is a relevant question is because there are people in the industry that choose to be out and other people that don't.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
So why don't you just speak to, in general, what you think about people who are faced with that decision?
Well, for me, I am married to a man, so I am, you know, I'm heterosexual, but I also feel that being in portraying a character who is lesbian or gay or transgender, there is, you have to do it with respect. We, Jared as well, when he decided to write the script, there was a couple that we talked to about this, who were very supportive, by the way, very supportive. I don't have a problem. I'm married, so it's obvious, but it's not obvious, but it is obvious. If there was an issue, if I wasn't married, and I have no problem saying, you know, I'm very supportive of the LGBT community, very supportive. From, you know, equal rights with marriage and everything else. So I'm going to do the role justice. That's how I feel. You know, I have respect for it. And that's the main thing. You know, I find that there's no character here. This is a relationship of, it's not a battle of like, oh, am I gay or I'm not gay. our story's not about that. We've been married. We've been a successful married couple, and something happens that kind of curtails what the end of our journey is going to be as a married couple. So when people ask me, you know, we premiered at the Austin Gay and Lesbian International Film Festival, you know, like I said, in Austin, Texas. And yeah, I had a couple of people, because I was there by myself. Jency wasn't able to come. She had to go to another festival at the time. And people, a lot of people came up to me and was like, oh, you know, you gay? And I was like, no, but, you know, it should matter to me, because as long as I'm doing the role, Jeff.
Well, in that particular situation, when you were at that festival alone, they wanted to know if you were available, because you're quite gorgeous. And I would want to know as well. So...
That's true.
At any rate, I'm so glad you took the time to be on the show today, and I look forward to meeting you at the festival. People can follow you on Facebook. If they search Shawn, S-H-A-W-N, Richards, R-I-C-H-A-R-D-Z, they can follow your personal profile. On Facebook,
they
can find Painted Parakeets as well. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you so much. And any questions or anything, tweet me. I'm on Twitter. This was amazing. You're amazing. And I loved your questions. You do your homework and you're really about it. And I love being, you know, challenged and, you know, taken back on a journey. You know what I mean? So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I do not ask your tired old red carpet interviews that should not even be asked to begin with. I try to go to other places all the time, and thank you for recognizing that. And have a safe drive out here to Palm Springs.
I'll see you soon. Bye.
Look forward to it. Bye-bye. Just remember, go to cinemadiverse.org for everything about this film festival, and keep following the fabulous Shawn Richards online. And this episode remains available in perpetuity, so you're going to want to continue to listen and share The Nicholas Snow Show. Thank you so much.
We are, in fact, connecting the circuitry of humanity. All of us connected. Please continue to connect with Nicholas Snow on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, Instagram, Google+, and other social networks. Everything Nicholas Snow is available at nicholassnow.com. For our video programming, check out nicholassnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. This program is produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We are honored by your presence.